If you have your Bibles with you this morning, turn with me to Matthew's Gospel as we carry on in the Sermon on the Mount, reading in chapter 6, starting at verse 25. It's been a lot of up and downs, but can I do one more? It won't be the last. Can you stand with me and we'll reverence the reading of God's Word? Jesus says, "I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. And if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you as well. And therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Father, may your words sit heavily with us this morning, in order that we would be those people that you are calling us to be, and that we would go and do what you are asking us to do. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Our reading this morning starts with a therefore. And what's the first thing that we're supposed to do when we're reading something and it starts with a therefore? Someone? Yeah, we have to see what the therefore is there for. And that means that we've got to be reminded of what Julie was talking about last week. Jesus has just been speaking about two possible paths in life. One is marked by living with eternity in mind, treasures in heaven, Jesus says. The other is marked by living for the here and now, treasures on earth, Jesus said. Jesus isn't interested in compromises. You can't do both, he's just been saying. You can't serve two masters. And we were reminded last week that these two pathways, which we sometimes like to convince ourselves can run kind of easily alongside one another, in actual fact, they head in entirely different directions. And so, assuming that we're taking Jesus seriously, this therefore, it kind of signals Jesus turning towards what it looks like to live with eternity in mind. And at the heart of it is what is repeated three times in what we've just read together. Do not worry, Jesus says. Word which we translate worry there, it's actually a little bit heavier than that. It kind of says, do not be anxious, do not be consumed. It also had a kind of dual meaning of not worrying over something in the sense of striving after it. And so three times he tells his followers, do not worry about some pretty basic stuff. Do not worry about your life, about what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Verse 25. Do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear, again in verse 31. And then do not worry about tomorrow in verse 34. And then, as if it's supposed to somehow help us, he draws on a couple of really simple pictures by way of explanation. Talking about food, he says, just take a look at the birds. They don't have to store up food in their cupboards, and yet God feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they are? To clothing, he says, why worry about your clothes? Look at the wildflowers. They don't do anything to earn any of their beauty, and yet God provides for them as well. More beautiful than the kings of the earth in all of their splendor when they're fully decked out. If that's how God clothes just the plain old grass, then don't you think he's going to look after you as well? Stop obsessing about the future, Jesus says. Just take it one day at a time. Now, we might be thinking this morning, well, that seems a little bit irresponsible of you, Jesus. Like, I kind of get what you're saying with this, but come on. Like, birds and flowers, those are birds and flowers, but I'm a complex human being. I got complex situations going on right now. I got a family who need me to look after them. Easy for you to say, Jesus, but surely God created me to take some responsibility for myself. We're having a little bit of a chat about this at our small group this week. Is Jesus saying here that we should just chill out, quit work, stop going to Pack and Save, wear our clothes until they're full of holes and expect that God's just going to come through at some stage? I don't think so. I don't think that's what Jesus is saying. What I do think Jesus is getting at, though, is the way in which even these most basic and essential of things, they can kind of hold a power, a power that kind of distracts us away from the kind of relationship that God is wanting to share with each one of us. And I know that we kind of touch back here thematically almost every single week, but I just feel like we've just got to keep on saying it and saying it until we get it, that the root of all of the darkness and the mess in our world, what the Bible calls sin, it is the pursuit of independence from God. I mean, that's what the imagery in the garden at the beginning is all about in Genesis 3, right? God says one thing, and then the sneaky snake shows up and suggests an alternative, and here we are, and we're still pursuing the alternative, and look at this world that we've made for ourselves as a result. But Jesus is here to make a relationship with God on God's terms possible once again. A way back to trust, a way back to learning to depend on Him, which means learning again to see God for who He is. The unbelievers, they worry about this kind of stuff, Jesus says, but God, He's your Father in heaven. It's been the focus on His teaching and prayer, actually, just a few verses earlier. And because He's your Father, Jesus says, then He knows what you need even before you ask. Just look at the birds, look at the flowers, you don't need to worry. You know, we find ourselves caught, I think, in something of an interesting in-between in this space. Because growing up, especially in a Western kind of context, is associated with becoming more independent, right? From the moment that you're born, you're on this trajectory towards those first steps out into the unknown, where it's expected at some time post 18, right, Mum and Dad, you'll be reasonably self-sufficient. You'll be capable of looking after yourself. And yet growing up as a child of God is not to grow into independence. Growing up as a child of God is in fact the complete opposite. It is to become increasingly dependent, not the other way around. And that's a problem for us in this context in which we live, because we are so wired for independence. It's the inheritance of sin. It's the narrative of our culture. We're told that growing up is to assume the worry for ourselves. And then Jesus shows up and He says that maturity from God's perspective, it really looks like seeking first the kingdom and His righteousness, the right way of God, and all of these things will be given to you as well. So is Jesus saying that we should just sit around doing nothing? No. But the challenge for us where we live now is that if we're honest, we just don't really need God. We get so consumed with this kind of stuff, when in reality, you know, God is just asking us to see what we have for what it truly is, which is the provision of a good and gracious Father. You know, it's why those rhythms of meal, table, Thanksgiving, even persisting over the hubbub of screaming and hungry children, or is that just me, are so essential. It's why a quick thank you to God in the dark in the morning as you're pulling on your clothes for the day will help provide perspective for everything that's to follow on after that. It's those moments of inviting God in, allowing His perspective to have space, some time for Him to speak back again. Because if in the basics, if in the essentials of life, we are practicing to see the goodness of God's provision and seeing Him for who He is, then it'll enable us to trust Him for more than just that. Maybe even for tomorrow and for the unknown as well. You know, I get really humbled looking back over the last 15 years or so and just considering all the ways in which this has been true in my own life. Just from little things, words of encouragement, entirely unsolicited, but right at times where I was praying desperately for God just to show up and let me know that I was on the right path. Random little things like provision of money out of nowhere. Four new tires needed on the car at the last minute, and suddenly there's an envelope in the letterbox with no one's name on it, just ours. Even the occasional little bit extra, like Lissa and I celebrating 10 years of marriage this year. Yeah. Thank you. She's down the back if you want to talk to her later. She'll be stoked about that. And we were looking this week to celebrate 6 months early because her parents are arriving this afternoon, so we've got live-in babysitting, which is awesome. And we just literally sat down in front of the computer to book some accommodation, and we got a text from some dear friends of ours offering us a voucher for accommodation in exactly the same town where we're looking to stay at exactly the same time that we were looking to stay there. What do you say to these kinds of things? I mean, I'm here to testify this morning that God, He does provide. And I'm humbled by it because, in all honesty, I don't think I'm really that good at practicing what I'm preaching right now. But the question hangs over us, do we allow Him space to be the Father in heaven that He wants to be? Are we allowing our perspective to shift? Are we learning every day in little ways to trust and rely on Him? And it matters, I think, because this is where it connects in a really kind of concrete way with the treasures in heaven conversation that's been coming right before this. Jesus has been real blunt. He literally says in the verse before the one where we started today that we can't live to accumulate wealth and also say we worship God. That those two things are totally incompatible with each other because nothing else has the power to captivate our hearts and distract us from living lives that are totally sold out for the kingdom of God, like the building of kingdoms of our own, you know? That's the second part of the worrying over that Jesus is talking about, I think. Caring too much about stuff has a way of kind of self-escalating. Because what is enough once you jump onto that conveyor belt, right? Said in the first service, I kind of hummed and hawed about saying what I'm about to say, but I said it there, so I have to say it now as well. Apologies in advance. Sorry, but not sorry. I wonder sometimes in the church if we might have just lost our way a little bit in this space. Because I harbor a suspicion that sometimes churches can kind of end up becoming comfortable places for kind of yardstick comparison with our fellow congregation members. And if we're all kind of doing rather well for ourselves, well, it only kind of increases our resolve for the way in which we live. The material acquisitions that we're making, perhaps the property portfolios that we're building, they're actually okay because isn't everybody else just kind of doing the same? Everyone else is worrying about that stuff. They've normalized it, so maybe it's fine for me as well. And yet Jesus is showing up in this passage and He's saying that, you know, the call to follow Him is the call to embrace the freedom and simplicity of the sparrows and the wildflowers. To build up treasure that matters not here, but in the eternal kingdom of God. You know, it's why throughout history I think that simplicity linked to charity and generosity are seen as such central and essential Christian values. Because when we're ceasing to worry, when we are learning to just be content, when we are drawing lines and saying, actually, enough is enough, it opens us up to the kind of radical generosity of spirit and the kind of material charity that can truly make a difference in the lives of those who need it most. Actually, on that, John Stott, he writes in response to a question of how the poor of the earth fit into this ceasing to worry that Jesus is preaching about here. Remembering, of course, that Jesus is pretty much preaching to the poor of the earth on the mountainside that day. John Stott says that the most basic cause of human hunger is not inadequate divine provision, but an inequitable human distribution. The fact that God feeds and clothes his children does not exempt us from the responsibility of being the agents through whom he does it. But it's hard, isn't it? Because that kind of life, as Julie was saying last week, is just in complete opposition to the world in which we live. It takes some radical kinds of steps to sort of help us break out of ourselves, I think. I was talking to someone after the message last week who was telling me about their daughter who, in response to some of this kind of thought, was deliberately wearing the same dress to work and to church for 100 straight days. And that person who I was talking to was in the middle of her third 6-month stint of not buying any new clothes for herself. These kind of basic areas of our lives is where it needs to start, Jesus seems to be hinting. And I guess I want to say this morning, church, that one of the ways in which I believe God is calling us out as a countercultural community in this time in which we live is in this area which so plagues our world. Greed and the inequality that it breeds, they have no place in the eternal kingdom of God. Learning rather to be a community of simplicity, a community of enough, that should be the only yardstick of comparison that should have a home in our hearts here in a place like this. Can any of you, by worrying, add an extra hour to your life, Jesus says? And of course the answer is no. Better to invest into the kingdom that Jesus is preaching here, the one that lasts into eternity. So two things to hold on to this morning. A call to a change in perspective, to embrace the challenge of growing into dependence on our Father in heaven, which inevitably, if it is that Father that we are becoming dependent on, must lead to a change in our own priorities. In this, what is such a significant area of development in the Christian life. In closing, though, just a warning. What Jesus is offering here, it isn't a recipe for material contentment, at least as far as our world would value it. There's no guarantees associated with what Jesus is saying, at least not in the here and now. Rather, he's calling our eyes higher to the Father God, whose provision and control over all these things, birds, grass, even us, is such that we can trust him with our very lives. Because that is the way that Jesus walks, isn't it? The one who speaks these words about relying on the Father's supply is himself nailed to a cross. And so we shouldn't expect that learning to trust and depend on God will actually be easy. But at the same time, once it all washes out in the end, that is the only thing that will matter. Amen.